this
up into dog food or something?
Well, they make dog food out of it, fertilizer. Basically, it's not a fish that you would see on the retail shelf of a fish market.
No. The other thing I wanted to ask about was the codfish. You haven't mentioned the codfish. Somebody said, well, in the old days, the codfish was thought of as the sort of the staple fish of Westport.
Yeah, codfish are caught off the shores here in the wintertime. You know, by off the shores, I mean along the beach and farther out if you want to go. There is presently in Westport, there is a codfish season where most of your inshore lobster boats stop lobstering along about November, December, and through the winter months to give them something to do and to try to pick up extra money, they go what we call tub trawling, setting out tubs of line with hooks spaced every 6 or 8 feet, and these hooks set on the bottom are anchored at each end of the trawl, and they catch codfish. However, it's a very hard way to make a living. It's during the coldest time of year. It's more or less hit and run. You really have to pick the weather, and it's very unpredictable as to what kind of season you're going to have.
And then when they're sold, they're the least expensive, usually, of the fish.
Yes.
And actually, they're quite tasty.
They are. Codfish has become a substitute for haddock in a lot of your restaurants that serve fish and chips. Haddock used to be the one of the prime fish for fish and chips and things like that. But since the haddock stock has been depleted, you know, has fallen way off.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, it was from overfishing by foreigners and Americans.
How about halibut?
Halibut is another species of fish that has been overfished. Up along the coast of Gloucester and Marblehead, it was not uncommon 15 or 20 years ago for people to go out and catch halibut. And since the foreign presence of Russians and East Germans and so forth, the halibut fishery has suffered tremendously, as well as the haddock. I think they found the spawning area for haddock. Fish are predictable. Some species of fish are predictable in what time of year they're going to spawn and where they're going to spawn.
Just as birds are, in a way.
And once the fishermen found out where the spawning areas were in the time of the year, of course they went there to fish because it was the most productive. But as a result, due to no management or very shabby management or lack of authority to manage, whatever you want to call it, the fish were overfished, the species were overfished, and it's gotten to the point with haddock where I think haddock landings now are only 10% of what they were, say, 5 or 6 years ago.
Isn't that amazing? Do you think there should be any regulations about fishing that there aren't now?
Definitely. I don't want to see the government come in and impose regulations that are going to take away the individual
liberties and freedoms
liberties
and independence
of,
and
right,
so on.
Of a fisherman, because that's basically what a fisherman is. He's a very independent sort of person. He's catching something that he can't see most of the time. However, I think anybody that's involved in fishing on a commercial basis and plans to be in it for any amount of time would admit that there has to be some regulations to govern the amount of fish that are taken and the amount of boats that can fish. As far as the 200-mile limit goes, I think eventually you'll have it. Whether it comes from the Law of the Sea Conference or through congressional action is debatable, but it'll come from one source or the other in the very near future.
Speaking with Mr. Vaughan the other night, he thought it was certainly a very good idea, but he feared that if it came in, it might cause problems with other you know, other nations that might, you know, that some of the political problems would be accentuated.
Well, it's, I guess if from the political point of view, the fishing industry has been more or less considered a pawn. In other words, it's the emphasis has been very low-key. The foreign nations have built boats that are capable of coming over here and fishing off our shores.
Mm-hmm.
There have been certain individuals who have defected from, say, Russia and other countries, Poland, who will go on record as saying that the reason they're over here fishing is that they have already fished the North Sea or the Baltic practically dry of what was there. They didn't have any management program at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like anything else. If you don't put back what you're taking out or don't allow enough time for whatever's there to rebuild, it's a downhill slide.
Do you think any of us are going over to Russian fishing or into Poland and fishing? Do we think any of our boats are going across the ocean?
Not really. The basic difference between foreign fishing and American fishing, per se, is that the American fisherman is what I would call a fisherman who fishes for certain species.
Mm-hmm.
We're more selective in what we catch,
mm-hmm.
in that most of our fish are marketed
mm-hmm.
on a retail basis,
yes.
eventually over the counter,
mm-hmm.
and the fish ends up in the home on the plate.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas foreign fishing is what I would consider protein fishing. They take everything they catch and process it one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of it might not end up on the table.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of it might end up as fertilizer
mm-hmm.
or something else,
mm-hmm.
Fish meal or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the American fisherman is much more selective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your tuna industry, your shrimp industry, this is all stuff that is... that ends up on the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
do we have shrimp? We don't. Do we do much shrimp?
Not really. There is some shrimp caught off Provincetown
mm-hmm.
and up towards the coast of Maine and, of course, down off North Carolina and in the Gulf.
And what about tuna?
Tuna fish are caught. The biggest tuna industry is on the Gulf Coast. There
mm-hmm.
are tuna that are caught off this coast.
Are there?
Yes.
That's what I'd heard.
But, you know... We're a much more selective group of fishermen in this country than the foreign countries.
Yes.
We're not after protein per se. We're after a marketable
product. And that's because we still have more money, maybe.
Well, apparently we do not need the fish protein or fish meal or fertilizer.
We have more resources, more natural resources.
From fish. In other words, we're getting our fertilizer and things like that from other sources.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas the foreigners are a little different.
I don't want this tape to run out, so that's why I keep looking at it.
Right.
Well, I'm terribly grateful that you've given me an awful lot of time. And do you think I've not asked you any of the things that are terribly essential?
No, it's fishing's a funny game. It's the thing that makes fishing, I guess, a little different than anything else is that you only get out of it what you put into it, and you fish around the weather. It's not like a lot of other jobs where you...
Don't you think it's somewhat like farming in that way, too, though?
Well, I think a farmer can see things growing in front of his eyes.
Yes.
Granted, he starts out with something that he can't see, per se. It's in the ground.
Yes.
But after a while, he can see what he's harvesting. It's growing right in front of his eyes.
Yes.
And in most cases, it's in his own backyard, and he controls the land that
mm-hmm.
that he grows.
Yes.
Whereas fishing, you never really see what you're after until you get it on the deck.
No.
and you don't have any control over
it's more of a gamble.
Right, of any given area. You might have fished in one area this year and next year, plan to go back there, and there could be foreign boats there or there could be other American boats. You just don't have any claim to any piece of bottom out there. It's all up for grabs, and the weather is different every day of the week, and the prices of fish are different, and it's...
very adventurous.
It's adventurous. There's some risk involved, but yet it's a type of life where it's a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess basically that's what gets people to go fishing, is the challenge.
It's a challenge.
There's no boredom
to it.
It's
a sport, too. You see, it's like a sport. Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, I mean, even though you're doing it for as a business, there's that sporting element in it,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Which is what makes it thrilling, I suppose. Yeah.
So, I don't know how much of a future it has, but...
Well, it must have some sort of a future, because there are all these fish in the ocean.
Well,
there's
a belief among people that I think that might be false. A lot of people feel it because of the earth is covered... three-quarters of the earth is covered with water, salt water, that's where... There should be a lot of fish in the ocean and mm-hmm. a lot of protein and everything else, but I think in recent years they've discovered that the majority of the fish in marine life that exists over an area of the continental shelf, which means outward from the continents, maybe 100 miles
mm-hmm.
in places, 200 miles in other places, or less than that, but... marine life grows
way out in
warmer waters.
The ocean between here and England, for instance, there's probably not
right.
not many fish.
Right. The big your oceans, whether it be the Atlantic or the Indian or the Pacific, are basically not that saturated with fish.
Mm-hmm.
It's the marine life seems to grow closer to land,
mm-hmm.
and there are a lot of fish, what we call underutilized species that. I suppose someday will be on the market, such
mm-hmm.
as dogfish and skates and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're fish that are sharks.
Mm-hmm.
The ocean is full of sharks, yet there is really no market for sharks at this point. And the ocean's just full of them. Man does not bother the porpoise or the dolphin at this point.
No.
Porpoises
are so intelligent and such fun.
Right,
I hope
but yet
they
would be very easily
caught. Because they're very trusting
creatures. Man could clean out porpoises and dolphins very quickly if he
mm-hmm.
put his mind to it.
Mm-hmm.
But there seems to be quite a few fish in the ocean that are not being caught, do not seem to have a market value. And these are the fishes that are traveling the real open areas of the ocean, and there just doesn't seem to be that much marine life. Once you get out past 10,000 feet depth of water, the bottom temperature is so cold
mm-hmm.
that bacteria or marine life does not really grow very much. It's almost like a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. And so, in other words, the fish just can't survive. I mean,
the growth rate of something trying to grow at 36 or 37 degrees temperature is compared to 45 or 50 degree temperature is amazing. Woods Hole, the Alvin, which is a submersible submarine. That's capable of going down to 12,000 feet. Every year they put down packages on the bottom in 12,000 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to grow things, or bacteria, to see how fast of growth rate they get. And it's very, very, very slow.
Mm-hmm.
A quahog, for example, inside in the river, in the Westport River, might grow from spat to eating size in 2, 3, 4 years. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you go out 50 miles and there are quahogs out there.
There are? I didn't realize that.
They're a little different. They're called mahoganies, but there's basically a quahog. Those quahogs hardly grow at all. Mm-hmm. And probably the main reason is the water temperature. Mm-hmm. The bottom temperature is so cold, it's almost like a refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And the growth rate is just slowed right down tremendously. Now, if man could heat the floor of the ocean, maybe he could have a big garden out there.
Maybe he could fill in the ocean, he could have a big garden too.
Yeah. So, you know, most of the fish are around the shore, or within 100 miles of the mainland. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's lucky in a way.
Well, it is, but by the same token, all these people that thought that are, in the long run, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, our protein and our food was going to come from the ocean, I think, are disillusioned. Because mm-hmm. I don't think the resource is there that people really think is there. Mm-hmm. Because of this problem, because mm-hmm. of the temperature problem. Mm-hmm. And even though we might be capable of fishing on the bottom in deep, deep water, 2, 3, 4 miles deep, mm-hmm. there's nothing there to catch. And we really need a management program to protect the different fisheries. And that's not to say that we should stop fishing. I'm just saying that we should have a management program at some level that will allow the fish or lobsters or whatever to replace themselves.
Yes.
And we'll just...
What about having these, seeding programs? I mean,
We could farm lobsters and oysters and things like that. It's being done. It's just a question of whether it's economical or not. I think by today's standards, it probably costs more to raise a lobster from an egg to, you know, marketable size than what you can sell a lobster for. Uh-huh. I don't think they should give up on the idea. I don't think they will. I think someday you will be able to go buy a lobster that has been grown or has been taken
in your backyard
from the egg state to,
yeah.
marketable size. Yeah. You'll be able to buy a lobster someday that way, and the price will be within reason, and whoever's doing it will probably make money doing it. Mm-hmm. But it's not here yet. It might be just around the corner. Mm-hmm. But
what kind of an imagination do you think it will take to have this happen?
Well, it's already happening, but at this point in time, it's costing as much, if not more, to develop.
What could lower those costs? Anything that you
can
see?
Well, yeah, the two biggest costs are the labor involved, mm-hmm. And the initial expense, and lobsters have to eat.
Yes.
Right now, to get a lobster to grow to, you know, marketable size takes 2 years. That means somebody has to watch those lobsters every day for 2 years.
See that they get enough to eat.
It requires a system that will not break down. Mm-hmm. And they have to be fed for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And right now, the cost of feeding them is about equal to what they're worth on the on the market.
Yeah, I see.
So eventually, they'll bring the cost down. They have gotten the time down from... In the natural environment, it takes about 7 years for a lobster to grow to be mm-hmm. big enough to market. They've cut that time down to 2 years, 18 months to 2 years now. So the quicker they can shorten that time and the cheaper that they can produce food to feed them, the better off they'll be.
Yes. Yeah. And you think they may do enough experiments to finally end up
Oh, there's a couple of places on the West Coast. One of the things that's required to make a lobster grow faster is heated water. Mm-hmm. It's a heat water costs money. Mm-hmm.